Breakfast Briefing on News Talk.
There's really two elements that you are going to be talking about today. As Kieran mentioned there, the first is the leaving cert. Finally, clarity on all of this today. It just seems remarkable that we are exactly 8 weeks into this whole lockdown thing, and yet we're still waiting to find out if the leaving cert is going to go ahead in its traditional form. All of the papers are really leading with this story here at home this morning, certainly the broadsheets and some of the tabloids too. So it appears that what's going to be announced today is that neither the exam or predictive grades. It's actually going to be a mix of both. The 61,000 students will have to choose, and in the first instance, they'll be asked whether they want to be assessed via predictive grades, which would be based on their performance in school. Now, it's understood that the candidates who want to sit the traditional exams, and they have a legal right to do so, that they will be facilitated. Look, so basically you're going to have to opt into this. You have to opt into sitting the exam. That's effectively what's been reported in the papers this morning. We want to know, what do you think of that? If you are a parent of a Leaving Cert student, or if you are a Leaving Cert student tuned into us this morning, what do you make of this new proposal that's been reported that'll offer both options? So some people will get their Leaving Cert results based on predictive grades, and that others will actually opt in to sit the traditional exam. Do you agree with that? I'm just looking actually at a recent survey, a student survey that was carried out last weekend on the front page 2 of the Irish Independent this morning, and it shows that 79% of sixth year students who were surveyed now support the option of predictive grades, suggesting that that a significant majority would actually take that route. We're interested in hearing people's view on this morning. I know predictive grades, back when I did the Leaving Cert, would have been the last thing that I would have wanted with no prior warning. But if you're a teacher listening to this morning, what's your view on that? Do you support the idea of predictive grades? What sort of problems as opposed for you over the next coming weeks? You can let us know your view on all of that this morning, 53106 at a cost of 30 cent, and you can also get us too on Twitter this morning at BreakfastNT. Now, the other element to all of this that you're going to be hearing about as well this morning is this NPHET meeting, the Public Health Emergency Team. They're going to meet again this morning, but it's not the nursing homes that's the focus this time. This time round, it's going to be what they're describing as marginalised people and other challenging sectors are now going to become a new front line of the battle against the spread of COVID-19. Because while the overall daily number of new cases that were reported yesterday fell to its lowest level in more than 6 weeks, was just an interesting point from the briefing if you missed it last night, there's now going to be a greater focus planned on the areas, though, where the virus continues to circulate at fairly significant levels. The Health Minister is going to open this new COVID-19 assessment hub at the Mater Hospital in Dublin to work specifically with marginalised groups in the inner city. Because what we found out last night, according to the official figures, is that, for instance, about 58% of Roma people who have undergone testing, 43% of members of the travelling community, have had a positive result, according to the figures. And the overall positivity rate for all people tested has dropped to now under 4%. But the idea of this new hub will include a mobile unit to test and to treat marginalised groups right across the inner city, for instance, in Dublin, and then it'll be able to deliver the results in under an hour. And the situation as well in meat factories, detention centres and other locations really which have sort of been described as these kind of virus hotspots have been identified, and they're going to be examined by the National Public Health Emergency Team at their meeting today. So you can expect, I'm sure, some sort of details emerging from that a little bit later in the afternoon. The story that caught my eye though this morning is the front page of the Irish Times, the pedestrianisation of College Green. Dublin's College Green is finally going to be set to be pedestrianised and cars restricted throughout the city. And this is under the plans to reopen Dublin City Centre when the COVID-19 restrictions are lifted. And according to this report from Dublin City Council, the Chief Executive Owen Keegan and Brendan O'Brien, who's the from the traffic department there, they said that the same level of traffic cannot be accommodated in Dublin City as before, and in a number of locations motorised vehicles will have to be banned after 11 o'clock in the morning. And the report describes the proposal as a temporary mobility plan which would be introduced over the next 3 to 6 months in line with the government's, of course, the roadmap for reopening society that was announced last Friday. But it's understood that the measures will remain in place though for a year to 18 months, with some likely to be retained then on a permanent basis. And the measures that have already been undertaken to increase space for pedestrians. They include things maybe like priority setting on traffic lights to allow for social distancing, and then also to guard against queuing on footpaths to try and preclude a return to previous high levels of private car use. And what I thought was really interesting this morning, particularly if you're somebody who commutes early, last year 46,000 private cars travelled into the city centre during typical morning peak times, but by the 31st of March that had dropped to about 14,000, such as the impact of people working from home. We want to know, do you agree with this? What's your take on this story this morning? Finally, the pedestrianisation of Dublin's College Green. Do you agree with the idea? You can let us know your view on that story too this morning. But to some of the other stories that you are going to be hearing more about this morning, government talks. The likelihood of government talks success less than 50-50 is the headline in the front of the Irish Examiner this morning, and it's because of internal wrangling within the Green Party. That's the view of some senior government sources. The paper's political editor Daniel McConnell writing this morning, and the formal talks, of course, between Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil and the Greens, they began yesterday with the discussions focusing in on how the process will operate over the coming weeks. We'll have more on that story, as Kieran mentioned, though, coming up on News Talk Breakfast after 8:30 this morning, because the Fianna Fáil leader Micheál Martin will be joining both Kieran and Shane. Also, inside the Irish Times too this morning, about the number of social homes to be built on Dublin sites, for instance, about 300 or so. This is the construction of nearly 300 social homes on three vacant sites in Dublin, including one that was bought by the Dublin Docklands Development Authority, has been approved by the Department of Housing. And the homes will be part of a batch of about 1,500 social houses and apartments, which it was announced 5 years ago, will be built across the state under the public-private partnerships at a cost of about 300 million euro. Just on housing as well this morning, there's an interesting story inside the Irish Independent that caught my eye about the shift to more apartments and urban living has now reported a drop in the size of the average home. This is the paper's environment correspondent Caroline O'Doherty writing this morning that our homes are shrinking in size. New homes completed so far this year are almost a third smaller than the equivalent property was 10 years ago. And that's only partly accounted for by the fact that a new home really is now more likely to be an apartment than previous times. For instance, single houses have fallen in size by about 25%. Houses and schemes of maybe two or more units have dropped 14%. And the CSO findings also, they sort of point to a move towards higher density living as well, which is encouraged as it makes better use of available land and reduces the sprawl that leads to the long commutes and the congestion that many of you experience. But for instance, by way of example, a single house completed this time 10 years ago had an average floor space of about 229 square metres. It's 50 square metres bigger than the equivalent house today. The average size grew further to 237 in 2013 before dropping back then again to 179. And for instance, homes and schemes that were at their largest in 2014 when they were averaging at about 142 square metres, apartment sizes also rose and fell then in alternate years for the first half of the decade. Interesting report. It's something I have to say as somebody who's at this stage and looking at options. Really, the options I find, particularly in the Dublin area and commuter areas, are apartments or then your 3 or 4 bed semi-D. You'd wonder, where are the duplex homes? Where are the 2 beds? They don't exist, and maybe they would provide a little bit more high density living to the individual houses. Just an observation. You can let us know your view too on that story this morning. Just on buildings, actually, when we mentioned them, something that maybe you should take note of, particularly if you're in a business that's currently vacant at the minute. Beware of mice and rats that are now taking refuge during the empty workplaces at this time. New protocols are going to be issued to employers right across all sectors to ensure that workers can return to work safely when the current restrictions are eased, because officials that have offices that have been lying empty while workers are working from home could now potentially be home to some rather unwelcome guests like rats and mice. And Richard Faulkner, who's the Advanced Technical Field Consultant with Rentokil, told the Irish Independent that the thing with the shutdown of buildings and businesses is animals want food and shelter, and some have found that in some of the empty premises. More on that story, page 16 of the Irish Independent this morning. Just a few of the other interesting stories in the papers and online this morning. Stress. This survey in the Mail this morning says that stress, Not Life begins at 40 for the middle-aged. Researchers surveyed two groups of adults, one back in 1995 and the other in 2012, and they found that stress levels had risen across all age groups by the latter survey. Middle-aged people are suffering almost 20% more stress than they were two decades ago, and the researchers found that the root of the problem lies in the generational squeeze of having dependent parents on one side and then grown-up kids struggling to start a career on the other, and it adds up to the equivalent of an extra 11 weeks of anxiety a year when you compare that with their mums and dads and what they would have went through maybe back in the 1990s. And also the pressure doesn't even include the stress that people might be currently experiencing during the COVID-19 pandemic. Also, shaken all over, page 20 of the Mirror this morning, cocktails, they're making a comeback when people are enjoying the virtual lockdown parties. Of course, the online virtual calls on a Friday and Saturday night. More than 100 people polled, according to this survey this morning, enjoyed classics like mojitos, margaritas and martinis. Happy hour starts at 7:30, according to this survey. That's in the evening now, I should say. And tequila sales are up 175%. Just finally for this morning in the Star, page 5 of the paper, baby boom busted. Rather than the expected baby boom following the COVID-19 pandemic, scientists fear the virus has actually put people off having kids. More than 8 in 10 people surveyed don't plan to conceive during the crisis, as you might have previously thought. Over a third who had been planning to have another kid or have a kid have now abandoned the idea. And 60% cite worries over the economy, difficulties and any other potential consequences of pregnancy due to the virus.
Those Breakfast are the Briefing the on News Talk. Morning.